we are now in a season where the lines are not blurred. The lines are gone. Do you hear me? The lines are not blurred. They're gone. And we really are in a season of divine intervention. Enough is enough. I shared with you some things from that topic, but this morning I'm going to kind of shift a little bit because I want to focus a little bit on this thing that's in the body of Christ right now, the glory. Some of you might recognize, we just did a post on the glory. Any of y'all see that post? Was it last night? We did it. And we didn't plan to put it out there till Monday, but my son Darwin, I'll do a post and I'll kind of send it out to different people. He got it. He posted it. So I said, okay, well, I guess we need to go ahead and post this thing. And we did. Is that on YouTube? Is there any way we can find it and pull it up, Deborah? Okay, see if you can. Okay, so just let me know when it's done. But I'm recognizing, hear me, that this word concerning the glory is a real word for the body of Christ in this season. But it means different things to different people. And so I want to add some perspective to it. And I want to add this perspective that I didn't get, like, coming into this year. I was talking about the glory in 2008, 2009. So even what I'm sharing with you today, it goes all the way back then because the message has not changed. So if you will just focus just for the next 30 minutes, and I want to deliver as much of this as I can. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your grace. Your amazing, extraordinary grace. I thank you for your grace. Now, Father, cause your word to come alive. For your word says, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Meet us right where we are as members of your body, that each of us would hear what we need to hear, that we would receive it, be it through my voice or the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. Make plain this word. Help us to find our place in this hour, in this moment. Get the glory, Lord, out of our lives. Get the glory out of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Reference scriptures that I've given, and the one that's for our theme for this house, Isaiah 59. It just so happens to be one of the foundational scriptures for this teaching. I entitled this teaching then, and it's just as valid now, moving from anointing to glory. Moving from anointing to glory. We are living in the church's greatest hour. God is preparing his people for the event of all time. It will be the culmination of everything from the beginning of creation until now. There is a rumbling and an unsettling in the hearts of God's people. How many of you feeling that? Anybody? Is it just me? You're just feeling something? It's a holy agitation. It's like something's not working here. It's feeling different. And it's a difference, and you don't know why. It's because it's unsettling in the hearts of God's people. Hear this. It's because he is preparing us for a change, for a shift. We're even in it right now. God is getting ready to release his glory in the earth in unequal proportions. He is preparing to unveil a people who have been hidden until an appointed time. Look at somebody and say, that time is right now. And say, I'm one of those folk that's been hidden. Yeah. It's good to know that. See, there is a part, or can be a part in us, that we just want to be a part of what's going on. I want to be with that crowd. I want to go to that party. I want to be in with that group. And yet there can be something on the inside of you that you just never really fit. It's because you're not supposed to fit. And if you do, and if you try to fit, you're faking it. You're not being who you're really called to be, who you were created to be. He is preparing and has prepared to unveil a people who have been hidden for an appointed time. That time is now. They will be known as those who carry his glory. We are being prepared, have been prepared, as vessels to carry his glory. It's in that Isaiah 59 passage, which we read as we came into this year, that truth has fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. That is the reality in our world today. The world is in darkness because truth has fallen in the streets, and without truth, there can be no equity. It is and will be the church, the body of Christ, that will uphold the truth once again. We are called to be not only bearers of his glory, but bearers of truth. Truth in today's world is not popular. And so there's the need to recognize and get okay with, you're going to have to suffer through some things to stand in the place of truth. God's glory is connected to truth. I'm going to say it again. God's glory is connected to truth. It's in Ephesians 5:27. It speaks of Jesus coming back for a glorious church. It's a powerful church, one without spot or blemish. The church as we know it now, hear this, is not the church he is coming back for. It will be a church full of his glory. Isaiah 61:7 speaks of the glory being seen in God's people. If we are to be the people the scriptures talk about, we must clearly understand the place we must be in for it to happen. Listen, in the church today, and this has gone on for decades, there's always been the focus on anointing, anointing, anointing. We've confused anointing with gifting. Just because a person can sing well doesn't mean it's anointed. They may be able to move you emotionally, but they don't move you spiritually. In the church today, we talk about anointing. Nothing wrong with that. We need anointing. However, I believe that we've come to a time when the anointing, we're coming to a time, we are in the time when anointing is not enough. He's coming back for a church, not full of anointing, but his glory. The word anointing refers to a refreshing, usually involving oil or ointment. Being anointed, or when something is anointed, it has to do with being set apart. It has to do with consecration. David was anointed to be king. He was set apart, even though it wasn't recognized till years later. We've become comfortable with anointing. We're calling everything anointed. The challenge is the world has become comfortable with the anointing. God always intended, and he still is intentional about it, that the church, the body of Christ, be different. We are in the world, but not of the world. But when we give in to our own personal, sometimes fleshly desires, we can look over here, see this, we can look over here, see them, and start to feel like, I want to be like him, I want to be like them, and recognize we're about to miss God. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you can read that, how that the people of God, and it was a setup that they just didn't understand what they were stepping into. Because you see, Samuel, who was the prophet, and the Bible says about Samuel, not one word he spoke fell to the ground. Now that's a serious prophet. I don't know anybody like that. I don't think you do either. To say not one word fell to the ground. I mean, everything he said came to pass because he only said what God said. However, he had two sons that didn't follow him. And so when his season was over, the people said, you know what? We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations that we see. And Samuel was crushed over it. But God pulled him to the side and said, listen, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And I'm going to give them what they want. Listen. Listen to me. You don't ever want to hear God say, I'm going to give you what you want. I heard a woo up there. You don't ever want to, okay, that's what you want? That's who you want? I'll be here on the other side of it. He said, give them a king, but I need you to tell them what the king's going to do to them. Give them that president, but I need you to tell them what that leader's going to do. Now, I ain't name any president. You can fill in the blank, whichever one you think didn't do right or hadn't done right or isn't doing right. Oh. Y'all tracking with me? I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah. The day of coming to church is over. We are an assembly, a body of believers who have assembled to hear God, encourage one another, strengthen one another. Let's change our vocabulary. Are you going to church? No, I'm not going to church. I am the church. I'm part of the ecclesia. I'm going to worship. I'm going to the fellowship. I'm going to gather with people who are part of my community. You going to church? No, I'm not going to church. What do you mean going to church? I am the church. We are the church. And there's something about this synergism even now that just, I don't know about you. It's strengthening. I feel strengthened by you all this morning. Thank you. Never settle with God saying, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. The moment you hear him say that or it feels like that, just pause and say, well, wait a minute. I changed my mind. Because if you offer it to me like that, I don't think I really need that. I thought I did, but I don't need that. I don't need him. I don't need her. I want and need you. I see you shaking your head over there, Kiva. I'm with you. So I actually have these 7 points connected with this message. Number 2, the rules are about to change. The rules are about to change. You see, the thing about moving from anointing to glory is that God does not take away from you what he gave you. The Bible says the gifts and callings are without repentance. But the rules are about to change. In Exodus 7 and 8, you remember, God sent Moses to set the people free. And he sends him and he says, you're going to do certain things when you get there. You have to know this, that there is always a counterfeit to the things of God. In this instance, Moses is doing certain things and Pharaoh's magicians are doing the same thing until God changed the rules. God changed the rules in order to prove to Pharaoh and the magicians that he, God, was in charge. They could only duplicate the signs and wonders to a certain point. Then God changed the rules. Hear me. The church has prophets. The world has psychics. The church has pastors and teachers. The world has motivational speakers. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a motivational speaker. Just don't get it twisted. It's not the same. One of the most successful motivational speakers, Les Brown, is someone that I know personally. But even Les didn't get it twisted. When you hear him now, particularly in the later years of his life, he's quoting Bible scriptures, okay? Because he's still alive, having been diagnosed with a terminal disease years ago, but he's still here. And he recognizes who his source is. Some of you will remember, some of you, we went to a gathering where he spoke. Nikki Willis set it up. I remember Eddie was there. Eddie was sitting in the back. I said, what are you doing in the back? Come up here to the table where I'm at. We were right up front. I said, get up here, man. Yeah, when you see somebody up front, you know them, go at least go talk to them. They might say, hey, have a seat. You never know the favor that's on your life till you try it. Yeah. I rarely go in a restaurant that I don't tell them where I want to sit. I let them tell me where they want to take me, and I say, well, what about this seat? If the one they're taking me to is fine, if not, let me sit over here. Can I sit over here? Then the favor kicks in. Yes, sir, where would you like to sit? The rules are changing, y'all. The rules are changing. Some of you remember, and I've shared this example before years ago, when Chrysler hired in Lee Iacocca as their chairman. And he came in, and he came in supposed to turn the company around. And the first car that they put out under his leadership was a car called the Intrepid. Nice design, very sleek car. And what was genius in the marketing was it simply said, "This changes everything." I love that. I just, because that's Bible. That's Bible. Nobody knew who Jesus was until the day he came walking on the shores of Galilee to be baptized by his cousin. Went down in the water, came up, and a voice said, "This is my beloved son, who I am well pleased." And all of heaven and all of hell said, "This changes everything." Hey. Hey, there are times in your life where you'll have those moments, and I pray that you don't miss them when it's "This changes everything." Because it's in those moments that God is doing something beyond what you and I could ever imagine. But you don't want to miss the moment. This changes everything. In Romans 11 and 21, it says that the gifts and callings are without repentance. Because the gift is from God, there will always be an anointing that's on it. In the world, there are people who have started in the church, but later left and took their gift with them. The world will call it like charisma. As they operate in the gift, there's an anointing present because it's a gift from God. They have chosen to use it, though, for their own gain and glory rather than for his glory. And here's the key. God will not take back the gift. He will simply raise the standard. He will take it to the next level. And that next level, church, is glory. That next level is glory. And the reason why is because you can't have the glory of God manifested in your life without paying something for that glory to be manifested in your life. When we say, "Get the glory out of my life," what you're saying is, "I'm not real sure about this situation. I don't like this situation. But I'm just offering to say, get the glory, God. Get the glory. Get the glory." With the anointing, you can operate in your gift and still never really change yourself. But this is not true with glory. There are many examples before us of people who have a powerful gifting and anointing in their life, and then something happens that causes us to see them that even with anointing, there can still be areas of weakness. And if not addressed, lead to failure. Connected to glory is brokenness. My son Darwin, years ago, and some of you remember it at Christ Emmanuel, I taught brokenness is the prerequisite. And my son Darwin still to this day quotes that. When he recorded his project called Broken, on the inside it said, "Brokenness is the prerequisite." What I was talking about is that glory is not manifested without brokenness. It speaks to true change on the inside. The church is going to have to own, be responsible for, and repent of how we've handled the anointing. And how we've handled the glory of God. There was an award ceremony, one of the programs, I forget which one it is, and it was the Gospel Song of the Year or whatever. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. What'd you say? It wasn't the Stellar Awards, it wasn't the Dove Awards. It was some urban award. I'm just saying it like that, but. And this lady wins the award, who's as far away, appearing to be as far away as you can get from living a saved life. And she gets the top gospel award. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Home, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm trying not to say the name. I don't want to draw attention to it. Folks were livid in the gospel industry that she would get this award. She's a rapper, a cussing rapper, dress inappropriate. It's saying polite. That's polite. And she wins the award. And folk wanted to get an attitude about it. How can you get an attitude about it when you were part of perpetuating it? You participated in it. You said it was okay for you to be like this and invite you to be a part of this, and then you get the award. Double standard. It has to do with the line not being blurred. The line is gone. And the thing that the church, the body of Christ, we have to own is that whether we want to admit it or not, in some of our circles of music and arts and those things, we want to be like who we see. We want to be like the world. So, we don't necessarily engage in certain platforms. We'll create our own. But what we create, as best possible, looks like who we want to be like. Is this making sense to you? And somewhere in that, you're saying, where is Jesus in this? Where is God in this? Where is the glory? And in this particular example I'm talking about, that person got up. She said a couple of things. She said, oh yeah, I guess I should thank God. I'm not making that up. Oh, that's right. This is a gospel award. I guess I should thank God. Let me make one more point, and then I really need to pause it because I need us to be able to hear it, process it, adjust accordingly. Hear it, process it for yourself, and adjust accordingly. It's Psalm 50 and verse 5. Matter of fact, do you have that pulled up for me now, Deborah? The clip, yeah. Yeah, so let's see if we can play this, and then I'll pick up in my notes here. Let's see if we can play this. We just put this one out last night. Turn it up. What'd you say? That's the one. Can you clean up that sound? Can you get it clearer? Okay, talk to me. What have we got going on back there? Okay, just pause it. I don't want to lose my momentum here. Let me know when you got it together. So for the next few moments, I want to finish out talking from this statement. No more treason. No more treason. Glory. No more treason. Scripture references are Psalms 50, verse 5 says, gather unto me the godly ones, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That's actually the opening scripture with this piece here. Maybe we'll get to it maybe another time. The world looks at the church and says, you have anointing, so do we. Because many have chosen to use their gifts for other things. I want you to know this. When we do this as a believer, it's spiritual treason. I know that's a strong statement, but it's spiritual treason. The word treason means to violate one's allegiance to a country or nation. It also means a betrayal of one's trust or confidence. God has given you and I gifts, talents, ability. He has anointed us to function. His desire is that we are doing that for the advancement of the kingdom, for the sake of the body of Christ, and as a result of that, it's bringing glory and honor to Him. Treason. To violate one's allegiance to a country or nation. You and I are part of the kingdom of God. All that we have, every ability we have, was given to us that God might get glory, bring glory and honor to Him. But many have chosen to use their giftings for other things. And as a result of that, the world is looking and they're saying, what's different between you and us? We see you acting the same way. We see you dressing the same way. We see you doing the same stuff. What makes you different than us? You want to look the same? You want to act the same? You want what we have. That's exactly the mentality that Israel had all the way back when they said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And so God is saying, okay, I get that. So what's He going to do this time? He's going to do what He did in Egypt. He's going to change the rules. So I want us to be sober in the understanding that right now there is, in this year, again, of divine intervention, enough is enough. That God is sovereignly now addressing things that have gone on way too long. And He's starting in the church. And so the things that individuals could have course-corrected themselves by repenting, humbling themselves, allowing the work of Holy Spirit to work in them, having not done that, God says enough is enough. So there's certain things that we are seeing and sensing and happening right now. And it doesn't look good. But it's God sovereignly moving things into place. Come on, for the display of his glory. He's exposing counterfeits. While the authentic is still in obscure places. He's cleaning out before he sets the stage again. Moving from anointing to glory. When he says, gather my saints, gather the godly ones that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, I believe that he's saying there are those who have the gifting, have the skills, have the abilities. They're anointed, and yet they have not been willing to bow themselves to the pressures of what life has to offer. They have been able to walk in a place under the grace of God. That they have become susceptible to when the scripture talks about in the book of Jude or in John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Been willing to go without until God says, now's the time. God is raising up people in this hour who he can trust. They are vessels that haven't come forth. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21 talks about the vessels. Two of the vessels are the vessels of honor and the chosen vessel. There are people, and I believe there's some of you even in this room, that have been willing to suffer through some things, not quite understanding it. And yet, I'm telling you, God has positioned you to be a part of his glory being manifested in you and through you. I got one yes and one amen. Can I get a couple more? Y'all have any success back there? All right. Just pull it up. If you're on Facebook, pull it up there. We'll get it on YouTube. You can find it there. It would be good for you to be able to see it and hear it. I want to keep going, but I need to stop. When I pick this back up, though, I'm going to talk to you about glory. I'm going to talk to you about kabod. I'm going to talk to you about doxa and the difference and what you want to believe for in your life. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage us as a house. Because it's easy to, can you just move this back for me? It's easy, I won't say it's easy, but sometimes we have the tendency to really look around at what's going on. And if we're not intentional, we'll even begin to do the comparison thing. There's actually a reel out there for that if you want to go out there and find it. When we're comparing ourselves with what was, with what is, and we have no clue of what it will be, except that we trust that God is already there and he's already worked the plan out. I want to tell you that this is a season to remain steadfast. The scripture says, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing what? That your labor is not in vain. I want to encourage you and those that are watching by way of live stream. Your labor is not in vain. Your stance of standing in a place of faith is not in vain. It may take a little longer to see it, but the key is that you stay the course. For the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You may be one who feels like life has passed you by or is passing you by. Get it out of your head. Don't let it get in your heart. Because the moment it does, you slow down and you begin to stop. But if you can cast off that thought and remind yourself of the guy Caleb, that when they crossed over, he said, listen, I'm as strong as I was 40-some years ago when I said, that's mine. Let me get my inheritance. Now let me go get my stuff. And I'm saying to some of you prophetically, it's time to get your stuff. I need about 7 more of y'all to at least act like you're excited. Maybe you don't think you got any stuff. But I'm going to clap my hands. And I'm saying, I'm coming for it. I'm coming for it. I'm coming for it. It's been released. It's being released. I'm coming for it. Let it go. I'm taking it. It's mine. It's mine. It's my, y'all not hearing me. Delay doesn't mean denial. And right about now, what the enemy would like is for you to give up, throw your hands up and say, well, I guess it'll never be any different than what it is right now. You must remind yourself, he is a liar. And he's the father of lies. He couldn't tell the truth. I believe every word that God has spoken concerning your purpose and destiny is still alive. Amen. And is hovering there somewhere. Now the question is, can you re-engage? Can you stir yourself to say, I'm getting back in the game. I'm refocusing. See, that's what the time of consecration should be about as well. If you didn't come out of it with some sense of direction, then you need to keep pressing in until you hear something. But my encouragement to you is everything, and I do mean everything, that you have endured, suffered through, God is using that for your good and for his glory. Can you say, get the glory, God? Come on, get the glory, God.